I used to just go with whatever meat looked good or was on sale at the grocery store. But now that I've experienced the exceptional quality, flavor, and convenience that you can get from Omaha Steaks, I'm never going back. They can build a custom food plan based on your schedule, which means less food waste and stocking up on high-quality proteins to always have on hand. With Omaha Steaks in your freezer, you're always just minutes away from a quality dinner, whether it's Taco Tuesday or a weekend feast. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code YUM at checkout for $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right. Shout out to a couple more good partners of this show. Shout out to Suizo Concrete Construction. Jake and I did it on location last summer. It was like July. I was fearful we were going to bake alive. They put us inside right next to some fans. They took care of us. They were nice folks, good people. They do a phenomenal job. All right, check them out. Suizo Construction, where safety is not just a policy, it is a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back both on and off the job site. Apply today at Suizo.com. 40 years strong in business. Suizo Construction. Again, that's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com. Suizo.com. All right. Also, shout out to Hamilton Telecommunications. They bring you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTEL.com. I just want to say we have breaking news. It's not really breaking news. It just kind of came to my attention. But breaking news, according to my attention, actually, this is kind of breaking news. The men's basketball team is ranked for the first time in the AP poll since 2018. They are the 23rd ranked team in the country. By God, if Indiana and Duke can be two of your powerful four football conference champions, we're winning an NCAA tournament game in basketball this year, Jake. What do you think?
I think it's quite possible to win that game after watching them beat Creighton last night. But, you know, I liked it. I mean, the college football world's turned upside down. It is time for Nebraska basketball to get one. And it's fun to kind of go through this. I know Nick was talking about it on his show, kind of thinking, well, what quad victory was the victory over Creighton last night? I think there's a pretty good chance that we're not holding our breath waiting to get in the NCAA tournament. I think we're going to be talking about a pretty good seed here. As long as injuries don't get in the way, Nebraska's been in pretty good shape.
You heard it here. Indiana's winning the football national championship, and Jake Bachman just predicted Nebraska to win the basketball national championship. Is that what I heard? Is that what you heard?
Yeah, sure, I'll do that.
No, you can't do that and be bad news, Bach. Doesn't make sense. All right. Also, the women's basketball team is ranked 24th in the country. You may have seen this on social media today. Nebraska basketball, women's basketball here for the Huskers, and Nebraska volleyball are a combined 50-0. All right. We are not a volleyball school. We are a sports school. You hear me, Jake?
I hear you.
All right. When it comes to some of these hires, there's some skepticism out there. New offensive line coach, new defensive coordinator. If you look at the resumes, you know, it seems very fair. We're going to get the offensive line coach. Jeep Wade here real quickly. His resume, I'm just going to be blunt. His resume stomps a mud hole in the guy who was our previous offensive line coach's resume. And I'm not trying to disrespect him, but when you compare resume to resume, it's not even close. All right. But I do think there's some skepticism. How much of that is rules hires have not worked out in the past? Again, this is our seventh coordinator. He's already hired. He's not even completed year three under his tenure. We've had other position coaches change over. There's been a lot of changeover. Part of that is just freaking college football the way it is. I mean, you can hardly go a year without people coming and going, regardless of how well you hire. But how much of a factor do you think that kind of is? Like, Adam, we've gone through a lot of coaches already. I don't know. How much do you think that factors in? And how fair do you think it is or is not, Jake?
Well, I mean, I think that it's fair. I mean, you don't have that much time. You know, it used to be and still is, I suppose, that you're pretty much directly linked to the quarterback that you have, especially in the NFL as a GM. But in college, too, you only get a few choices. And it's the same thing with your coordinators. I think as time goes on, it becomes more and more apparent that Matt Rhule is going to be very dependent on how his coordinator hires go. And there's just been a lot of them so far. Again, Tony White left Maybe a lateral move, you could argue, but at least left, you didn't have to be forced out. So that was a good hire. But, you know, even if it's at 50% rate, that's not a good rate. So I think there is a little bit of a frustration there. A lot of the staff overturned over the last couple of years under Matt Rhule. Of course, this is the last one from the Scott Frost era. And there's, of course, some Raiola thoughts to that, too. But I think it's fair. And I think that that's why there's a lot of pressure going into year four.
All right. One other thing here before we dive into our new offensive line coach. You informed me that Minnesota's kind of pissed at us, the Minnesota football team, because they're going to the Rate Bowl in Phoenix, which seems wonderful to me. I mean, Phoenix is nice. We're going to Vegas, not that far away. But apparently they're not making as much money, and they're playing New Mexico. They have the same record as us, and they have the tiebreaker, and they should have gone to the better bowl game and played the better team so they could be a 30-point underdog. Apparently they're upset about this.
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. You didn't just beat us. You curb stomped us. You absolutely should be where we are. Your fans are not as good as ours. Deal with it. So we're going to the better bowl game and making more money. Thank you, Husker Nation. All right, let's move on to our new offensive line coach, Jeep Wade. Now, this is a guy who's been he's had multiple stops. He's had multiple offensive lines that have been up for the Joe Moore Award. Joe Moore Award, semifinalist, top 10 offensive line in the country at Georgia Tech in the last couple of years when he was at App State. They were in that conversation as well. He has coached 21 all-conference players, 5 offensive linemen that have gone on to play in the National Football League. Just this past season, Georgia Tech's offensive line, their run blocking grade, ranked 6th nationally in yards. Run blocking ranked 6th nationally in yards before contact per design runs, and ranked 12th when it came to run blocking grades in total offense, top 15, over 7 yards a play. And everything, as we know, starts up front. Georgia Tech football ranked 5th nationally in sacks allowed. And let me see. Oh, they gave up as many sacks this entire season as Nebraska gave up to our aforementioned good buddies up in Minneapolis in one game. 9. So people ask me, Adam, Georgia Tech's a run-first offense. I'm aware of that. Well, Adam, if all they do is run the ball, they're not going to give up many sacks. Okay. They're not Army. They're not Navy. They're not Air Force. Now, they used to be not long ago, but no, because there was 4 schools in the country that ran that offense, Army, Navy, Air Force, Georgia Tech. That's been a half decade ago. They have moved on from that. Do you know why they're a run-first offense? Because they run the ball better than they throw it. Their offensive line creates openings. There's holes for them to run through. They don't even have great running backs. They have decent running backs, but not great running backs. I'll be honest with you. You put Emma Johnson behind that line. He's bordering. I don't want to say he's going to be like a 2,000-yard back, but like he's getting close to things that would have not only put him as a Doak Walker finalist, but probably a Heisman finalist in New York. Okay. So they ran the ball more. Also, Haynes King, their quarterback, runs the ball well. He throws the ball well, but he runs the ball well. So they took advantage of what they had. Their offensive line's a good run blocking offensive line. They're physical. It's no nonsense. This is how they're coached. This is who they've been for a couple of years. They led the ACC in rushing a year ago. It kind of flew under the radar. If you remember, I mentioned that on this show a couple of times in the offseason. Now, I didn't talk about Georgia Tech a ton because we get to general college football, but not always. But in the preseason, I said Texas Tech's going to win the Big 12. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember mentioning Clemson did not pan out so well. But I said Clemson's going to win the ACC and Georgia Tech's going to play in the ACC championship game because they can run the ball so well and they don't beat themselves. I got both those teams completely wrong. It was Duke and Virginia. Who under God's hot sun saw that coming? By the way, Clemson and Penn State, you know where they're playing? They're playing in a bowl game. Preseason number 2, preseason number 4. You know where they're playing?
I do.
Well, say it.
In New York.
The Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
It is now a major bowl game, and Nebraska is the team that set that tone. I'm just going to say it right now. We made the Pinstripe Bowl, not Boston College, not anybody else who's ever played in it. It's also not a major bowl game, but we made it a major bowl game, and that's why Clemson and Penn State, after terrible seasons, wanted to play there, okay? It's actually going to be an intriguing bowl game. Like, what's going to happen with you two in this game right now? Because you're so talented. You should be a top seed in the CFP, yet here you are playing in a baseball stadium. All right, back to Georgia Tech. So I did not know who – in fact, at first – I may have pronounced his name as Geep. Obviously, I got corrected with that. Jeep Wade, I was not familiar with him. I was more familiar with Georgia Tech, the offensive line. And then I learned about Jeep Wade. You look at his resume. This is a very good hire. He has a fairly lengthy career of coaching offensive lines over 20 years. There is multiple stops with multiple places of success, whether it be multiple offensive lines up for the Joe Moore Award semifinalists in the conversation, especially midseason, multiple guys going on to the NFL, multiple guys all conference. Now, has he done it in the Big Two? He's done it Power Four. Has he done it in the Big Two? No, not necessarily. I don't know how big of that deal that is. At least he's been in the Power Four. He's done it multiple stops, multiple years. Helped Georgia Tech become a team that's in the conversation for the CFP when this was a team that was an afterthought and it was just all about the Georgia Bulldogs. And 2 years in a row, they've been within one possession of beating their in-state rivals. And the offensive line was a huge part of that. So I actually feel very good about this hire. You got any final thoughts before we move on to the insane asylum that has become college football and the college football playoff?
No, I actually really like the hire, too. And if you're doing the counting, which we like to do, he has been an offensive coordinator, too. So, you know, as we like to count our former offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators on staff.
Five former offensive coordinators on staff. Go ahead.
So there you go. But, you know, it's about consistency, too, in those categories. People look at this past year, and like you said, you can have your outliers. You can say Haynes King is doing a lot of the dirty work behind these stats. But led the ACC in fewest sacks 3 years in a row. And was top two in rushing each of the last three seasons. That sounds like a pretty good resume coming on.
Hey, talk for a couple more seconds. I'm going to look something up.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Obviously, we talked about Jeep Wade, fourth in the nation, as you mentioned this last year, with just 9 sacks given up all year. Also, this past year, and I don't know if he's going to get it this year, but the year before on that Georgia Tech offensive line was an All-American. He returned to be an All-Conference player. So just at Georgia Tech, he's had five different offensive linemen awarded with All-Conference honors 7 different times. You look back at the last 3 seasons for the All-Conference recognition on the offensive line for Nebraska, I'm not sure you're going to find that number. So I think it's, I think this is a guy that really, you know, look where you struggled, find the guy that's got a history of doing it and showing it. And it's at Georgia Tech again. So I think part of it is, you know, how do we develop? How do we get these guys going? You know, if you can translate that from Georgia Tech, you should be able to do it at Nebraska as well.
So the past 13 games, Georgia Tech has thrown the ball 412 times. Been sacked 9 times. That's less than 1%. They average 32 pass attempts a game. They give up an average of 0.69 sacks a game. You feel better about that? Because that was the big question I got. No, they're not Army, Navy, Air Force, but let me look this up. So I feel better.
That's more than I expected, yeah.
Now, does it guarantee any? It didn't guarantee a freaking thing. But when you're trying to project how you feel about a hire, and you got to see how it unfolds, same thing with the defensive coordinator, all you have to look at is what's happened in the past, and that makes me feel decent, at least as we sit here, right now. All right. We're going to take on the insane asylum that is college football and the CFP. I'm going to tell you why Notre Dame should have been left out. I'm going to tell you why they're being whiny little babies sitting out the bowl game. But I'm going to tell you why I'm not surprised. They're just the team that finally did it. And now there's 10 teams that have opted out of bowl games. And they're being fined $500,000 a piece that I know of. I'm perfectly fine if they want to fine Notre Dame $20 million just because, you know, I feel that way about Notre Dame. Join a freaking conference. Finally, they've been punished for not being in a conference.